Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Phillies win tonight as Schwarber lifts one to deep right field. It's number 300 off the facing of the upper deck. What a shot by Kyle Schwarber! And the Phillies now lead it 7-3.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
And then it is lightning quick. Perdomo hits a fly ball game to Zanidis. He's got some carry too. And it's another Diamondback home run. They lead it 9-3. The sixth for Perdomo. And they've blown it open in Los Angeles.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Jumps all over it. We saw that in spring training too from him.
Out to left field. Clobber deep and gone. Grand slam. Julio takes it deep and clears it off.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Good morning. May 20th, a Tuesday. Hello.
What is happening?
How was your Monday evening?
Monday evening was pretty good. I got no complaints from a Monday evening. It was a little weird not having NBA and NHL playoff games on my television. I'll grant you that. A little strange. I'm used to it over the last 6 weeks, having a doubleheader at like 4 and then again at 7. So not having that double whammy, a little strange. But other than that, it was delightful.
Have we navigated away from the rain, or is that still in our forecast? Because it was gone last week, and then it came back, and now, but like the last 2 days, I feel like it hasn't rained quite like they said.
I see there's supposed to be some clouds, maybe a chance of a drizzle next week. I see sunshine, 70s, possibly an 80.
Second spring returns, early summer.
I'd say
comes.
Early summer.
This is our early summer.
I don't
want to
jump
window.
The gun. I don't want to jinx anything. That's just what I saw.
Well, aren't we a month away? Isn't the summer equinox June 21st?
Yeah. Is the summer solstice.
Yeah, solstice. Yeah. What did I say? The equinox?
The equinox?
That's fall and spring.
Thank you. Yeah.
So why is it an equinox? What's the difference between the equinox and
the
solstice?
The equinox
is that a dumb question?
It's a nerdy question. Well, it's how we tilt on our axis.
We got an axis tilt going on here, huh?
And so
popping that thing.
The equinox means that there's just as much daylight in the northern hemisphere as in the southern hemisphere in a day.
Absolutely. Eek.
You got to balance.
Equal.
Equal.
Yes.
Equinox. Duff.
Yeah.
I was just making sure you guys knew what the answer to that question was.
I'm sure I butchered that and Pop swags up and he's throwing something.
Ah, Jason, come on, man.
Didn't I teach you anything?
I did. I don't know if you guys had this feeling. I walked out the house today and I knew that I wasn't, but a brief moment of thinking, did the show already start? It felt brighter today than it had in days past when I walked out the door.
Yes, less cloud cover.
Well, I had a brief moment of panic of like, it's a little too bright right now. I don't know if I knew I was on time and I didn't oversleep, but I had the thought in my head walking to my truck that maybe I overslept this morning.
Well, I was driving in and I was in my car. It was 5:21 and I was pretty close to the work and I'm like, is that say 5:41? Because
right
I had the same thing. I was looking outside, and I'm like, I don't even lights on my car.
It's daylight right now, man.
Daylight is out right now.
It's like I'm going to a normal job. This is pretty badass, man. I did check the weather this morning, and I enjoyed seeing at 6 a.m. there were raindrops in the forecast, and it said 0% chance. And I thought,
why would it be in the forecast?
That's, I don't know.
It's a lot.
That's a little strange. I was a little confused by that one. You're telling me two different symbols here, and I don't know quite how to read this.
So you didn't have hockey and basketball. You didn't watch any of the baseball?
I watched the baseball. My team lost, so that sucked, you know. Yeah. Winning streak came to an end.
Both the Dodgers and the Giants were getting no hit, like, through five innings or something.
Yeah, I think the Giants didn't get hit till the seventh inning. Controversial, too, because they had a hit, and the guy at second base slipped fielding the ground ball for the Kansas City Royals, and they initially called it an error. And it was one of those, like, that could go either way. He could have made a play on the ball. He slipped. Like, I see both sides of the argument. On the field, called it an error. Inning ended, and on the column it said no hit still after six innings and only one, and they had an error. And then they came back from commercial break, and during the timeout in between innings, they changed the ruling from an error to a hit.
It's
the guy lost his no-hitter in between innings on a scoring change. Now, he ended up giving up a hit. They scored a run in the game. They still lost. But I had a little chuckle of like, that would be a brutal way to lose a no-hitter.
It's so nerdy to say this. I actually love doing the debate if I'm watching baseball. Error, no error.
Would you give that a hit?
Right.
Does that count?
Is that a hit? Is that an error? Where would I lean on that?
So this is one. He's ranging, second baseman ranging to his left.
Is it a full dive?
No dive at all. So he puts his left foot in the ground, and his foot kind of like the spike kind of gives out. So if the spike doesn't give out, he makes a play on the ball, and the guy's probably out. But he slips, falls down on his right hip, doesn't field the ground ball, goes into the outfield.
Gotcha.
Initially called an error, later changed to a hit.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, probably an error in my book. If a no-hitter's going on, I'm probably giving it an E and seeing how the no-no rides out.
Like, you remember that dunk from OG Anunoby, and they called it an offensive foul?
Yes.
You remember the dunk I'm talking about? I think it was in the last round.
Yeah. Hmm. I do remember that. Okay. Yes.
Driving the lane.
Yeah.
Much like baseball and in basketball, I think as a ref, and I would never be a ref because one, I had another warning this past weekend at a tournament. A ref had to warn a parent section of, like, I'm going to toss you. I'm like, wow, man.
You guys calm down over there.
But, like, I just wouldn't want to go through it. And it's tough. It's hard to ref. It's not easy. You got coaches chirping at you, parents, right? Kids right. complaining.
Right.
I think if I was an official of any sport, I would always lean allowing the cool thing to keep happening, even if it's technically not maybe the right call.
You have to. You got to make that call on the field.
Like, if I'm watching an OG Anunoby drive down the lane.
You bam on somebody.
Just a thunderous 6'8 dude.
Oh!
And just yams all over Derek White. It was Derek White.
Yeah,
and
he's
clearly there outside of the restricted area. We're getting a block. I want to see that on the highlight reel.
I want to see that over and over.
We're not taking that away from you.
You jump over somebody and dunk on them, that should just count. Just based on principle, that should count.
What was the ref's name that took away the perfect game from the Tiger?
Oh, Jim Joyce, I believe.
Yeah. Jim Joyce.
Yeah. Armando Galarraga.
I'm telling you right now, if I'm standing where Jim Joyce is, I'm actually calling out before the throw's even made to the pitcher. I want to see a perfect.
Get out of there!
Punch him out.
Now you're out of there! Double punch.
I don't know how he called him save. It was an awful call, but I'm always leaning towards letting the cool play stand.
Well, that's why they
a
got
catch
the,
in the corner of the end zone.
That's why they got the challenge system now, and it goes back to the video.
Always
somebody
called
else.
On the field.
Dude, with receivers and their footwork ability and their hands nowadays with those gloves, I am just so prone to see it in real time and go, not a chance, that's a catch, to where now I see the replays, I'm just like, every time, touchdown!
Count it!
That's it, that's good.
That's two toes
go
in.
To the review.
Good.
Go to the review. Let the review make the correct call. I'm always leaning on the positive end of those calls.
You made a great play. I want to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Dude, I would
play.
Be a well, bad ref in that way.
Yeah, because when we're at Hops games, you know, anytime there's something questionable, we always look down because the official score. So the two radio booths are in between where our PA booth is. And then they have the official score and the people doing the track man. So if you do the game day, if you go onto MILB.com and the pitch clock and all that. And then there's an opening kind of as it wraps around so everybody can see the official score, indicate hit, error,
so you know what to put on the
whatever
board.
Yeah. It is. And we always know, like, uh-oh, he's going to have to think about this.
Uh-oh, that's a tough one right there.
Well, I'll give you I
that's not an easy call.
In watching my Bravos this year, and I've noticed this last year as well, baseball's got a replay problem.
Too much replay or not
Way
enough?
Too much.
Yeah, too much.
Everything.
Yeah.
I feel like every other play, they're like pointing at the ump, and then it's like, oh, we're going to replay. All right, he's safe. Oh, that's a strike.
Well, they only have, what do they have? Two challenges?
No,
but
that's
they get
not a lie. That's a straight lie.
They get to keep the challenge if they're correct.
I've seen like seven replays in a game. That's a straight lie to tell me there's only two challenges.
Well, you keep going if you get
going
one right.
You keep going if you get it right.
You get unlimited challenges. You just keep, you get a challenge. You get a challenge.
It's not a clear system. It's very confusing watching it in real time. It's just like, well, that's challengeable. Everything else is.
Wait till next year when they implement the strike zone reviews where catchers can call for strike zone challenges, I think, what, two or three times a game, whatever it is.
Then just get the robot umps at that point.
You point over and give me the challenge call. Like, looks like eliminate, strike to me.
Eliminate the ref, the ump at the home plate making the call. Make it an automated robot strike zone.
Sure.
Keep the ump behind home plate so you can call safe and whatever.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, everything can aesthetically look the same. You just have
the
robot call.
Well, the ump is still
the
there to determine foul balls and thing those sorts of things.
There was controversy on that the other night on Sunday Night Baseball. The guy thought was it Pete Alonso thought he foul tipped a pitch and the umpire told him he didn't. And it was he called it strike three. He's like, dude, I made contact with that. He's like, no, you didn't. Strike three. And it was a pass ball. He didn't run to first.
But I kind of like that.
And he was like, no, he just had to walk back to the dugout. I was at my nephew had a baseball game, I think like 2 weeks ago, and it was we were excited. Nice, one of those nice Thursday nights. Like, let's go watch a baseball game. This will be fun, right? And the umpires didn't show up. Just no showing umpires in local youth baseball.
Not great.
So we're standing around waiting. There, my brother joked with me for a moment of like, hey, you want to? I was in flip-flops and like a golf polo. I'm like, dude, no, I'm not getting out there and umpiring.
They asked you to ump?
I was like, not happening.
Why?
Dude. I'm leaving after three innings to
What's
go put
age?
Teddy down. He's in third grade.
Oh, dude.
Third
Easiest
grade.
Games.
He's out of there! So they had to decide because the ump no show. And we're like, everybody's here. The parents are here. Everybody's waiting for the game to start. They decided to let the coaches on each team umpire one side, you know, half of an inning, basically. And so my brother was the one that had to go out and umpire. He ended up getting into it with the parents on the other team. Now, part of it was his fault because there was a call where a guy stole second. There was a throwdown.
They're allowed to steal in third grade.
You're allowed to steal in third grade. You run all you want, baby. You're going around those bases.
Now, do you have to wait until the pitcher delivers the pitch? You can't. Or can you just take off at whenever?
Yeah, you can. I think they just now are at the age where the it's normal baseball rules.
Okay.
So
okay.
I think he can't just take off. You can pick off if you want.
Right.
But guy takes off. They throw it down to second. My brother he turns around, makes the call. His team was on defense. The opposing team was hitting. And he made a very, like, quiet, safe call. Like, didn't quite.
Almost just this indication,
just kind of
right?
Like indication, like, safe. Like, it was pretty obvious he was safe. Kid, for whatever reason, doesn't hear it, doesn't see it, thinks that he's out.
Oh, gets off the base.
Starts walking back towards the dugout, and then it's like.
Gets tagged.
All right, this is a weird gray zone here. Gets tagged. He's out.
He's out.
The other coach comes out. It's like, dude, what are we doing? He was safe. He called him safe. He's walking back. So that turned into a whole thing. And I was just laughing behind the scenes.
What's the debate here?
I think it was that he didn't make the call demonstrably enough where he didn't say safe, you know.
Well, why would the kid instinctually go out?
I don't know. It was a weird gray zone. Kid should have just stood on the bag until the coach told him what to do. And then two batters later, another kid stole second and it was a bang bang 50-50 call. He's standing behind the mound, his team again on defense, he calls him out at second base. ended the inning, and the other parents weren't very happy about that.
Tie goes to the runner, Blue. Tie goes to the runner.
I gave him some crap after the game. I was like, hey, way to go, Blue. Need a little bit louder on those calls out there, huh?
I had that moment once where I was going to my niece when she played softball. I showed up to the game, and they're like, hey, can you ump? It's like, what?
Need an umpire.
We literally don't have an umpire. Yeah. I'm like, well, where's your umpire? Oh, he just no-showed.
Just no-show umps.
And I was maybe one of five people at the time that were even at the field.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm wearing something like now. I'm wearing a T-shirt and
a pair of basketball shorts or something.
Yeah, nothing like anything that shows that I'm an ump. And I go, I guess.
Sure.
Man, what a mistake that was. She might have been in the same grade. It might have been third grade softball.
Yeah.
And I'm standing behind there, and the worst part about it was I was the opposite of your brother. I was getting a little heckles from a couple called, oh, no, about that one.
Ooh, I don't know. That
like,
was
I could hear it.
Zone.
I'm like, yeah. I'm literally watching it. It's not coming in at 80 miles an hour. That was over the plate. It was a strike.
It was a lobbed pitch. Right? We're doing all right here.
Trying my best. Yeah. Not anticipating doing this.
I'm not even a full-time umpire.
The controversial moment was actually the opposite of your brother's. I called my niece out on a strike three, and she just was looking. And I was
it
like,
a borderline pitch? No,
I mean, look, I was trying to be honest.
Yeah, you got to call it fair. You got to call it
Softball wasn't her sport.
That's okay.
She quit after actually that season.
You made her quit.
It was very.
You rung her up. How aggressive was the ring up? You give her one of those?
Dutch runner?
You give her a full karate chop with two arms?
I never really been an ump, so I took full advantage of them calls. And
you and Enrico Palazzo.
It might have been. And she just looks at me like almost welling up with tears.
Hey, go, Brandon. Go, Peanuts. I'm not playing anymore.
Gotta swing that bat.
My brother-in-law just looked at me like, how dare you,
You bastard.
Way to build her confidence, your little D.
Your kids aren't getting anything for Christmas. If I were an umpire, I would definitely go stabbing motion for punch out.
Like stabbing motion.
You could do like the punch down.
Just the one arm?
Yeah, the one arm stab.
I like the two arm.
You like the double.
Get out of there.
Hey.
Get out of here. Just be as animated as possible. Be the opposite of what your brother did on the stolen base
you
call.
You can't be vague, man.
Safe.
It's a third grade base. You guys, this is your moment to shine.
I'm really disappointed in your brother. Your brother's a really nice guy, but if he was here, I'd be like, yo, you can't be soft Portland guy.
No.
He's safe.
You got to be emphatic with the call.
It's all inclusive.
You got to trust your instincts on those 50-50 plays. You got to announce it with authority.
They are safe.
Kid doesn't hear it, just starts wandering off the bat.
I'm a him.
I'm watching over on the sideline. I go, oh, this isn't going to end well. Those parents are not going to be happy about this one. This is awkward and uncomfortable.
I just keep like,
safe.
Am I safe or not?
I can't hear you.
Yeah, you're safe.
You gotta let them know.
You're safe. You gotta make the testies gotta drop on those calls, man.
I do like the one arm fist pump though, like your Michael Jordan hit a game one game winner.
Give him a quick knife to the
chest. Sometimes I don't think they're saying words.
No, they're not. It's just it's a gargle.
Yeah.
You know, it's mumbo jumbo.
But you get it.
Everybody knows what the call is based on the emphatic of the call.
Well, what an opening segment. We got a lot to get to. Happy Tuesday.
We do.
It's a mail sack Tuesday.
Yeah, we got a mail sack today.
I'm super excited about it.
I love mail sacks.
You going golfing today?
I am not. I'm just dressing like one to cosplay as a golfer. Remember when I used to be able to play golf? It's cool.
I do.
Remember that was a good time?
It still throws me off you dressing like you actually have a round right after the show today.
It's the only clothes I got, dude. It's all I got. I spent 10 years building up a golf portfolio. Now I can't play golf anymore. And I look in the closet and I'm like, I'm either wearing sweatpants or I'm wearing golf clothes. And I felt like wearing golf clothes today.
It's all right. I'll be 39 in December and I'm waking up not. It doesn't matter what I wear. I have a fat pimple on my face like I'm 17 years old. It's like, great. I'm going to be the guy right in front of your face in the office like, hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Fat pimple on your chin.
You got something on your nose there, buddy.
Hey, it's pretty white right there.
You want to pop that thing?
Nothing worse than a feeling when you got a little white. Stop with the hand gestures. Yeah. It's annoying.
We're talking whiteheads here.
There's nothing worse than when you're talking with somebody and then you get to your car and you find out you had a whitehead on your face.
The entire time.
That's probably all they stared at.
The entire time. I'll give you credit for this. You're a good friend in that regard. If there's something there, you're going to point it out immediately.
I'll let you know.
And I appreciate it.
Dirt,
nobody wants
that.
To. Yeah, you, dude, you get what's you got something under your nostril. You got to take care of that.
Dusty had that. I saw him a couple weeks ago and he was walking into the office. He was talking to me. And as he was walking back, I was like, ooh, he had a booger in his nose. I just noticed that as he left. First person he talked to, I bet, looked at that booger.
You should have said something.
I know.
He had that booger the rest of the day.
Well, it's a loaded show. There's a lot to get to. We will start with how we got here. How did we get here? We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague, it is good to be with you on this Tuesday on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I saw a crazy stat yesterday. I want to get to basketball here. I saw a crazy stat that Ellie De La Cruz is like rapidly approaching. Yeah, by the month's end, this one from Old Time Hardball. Ellie De La Cruz, who's a great player.
Great player.
Maybe the only reason to watch the Reds.
I put Hunter Green in there, too.
Hunter Green, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, not a lot of reasons to watch the Reds.
Ellie De La Cruz has 422 career strikeouts. By the end of this month, he will have passed Tony Gwynn's entire career strikeouts.
I love seeing stats like that that remind you how good guys back in the day were. And just putting the ball in play, man. How many years did Tony Gwynn play for? 20?
Oh, man.
I mean, he was in the bigs forever. Ellie De La Cruz, very good player. He's been around for a bit, but not that long, already topping that number.
The Western Conference Finals start tonight.
They tip off tonight.
Timberwolves and Thunder. I'm excited for it.
In Oklahoma City.
I'm hoping we get a good series. I kind of keep going back and forth in my brain where I'm trying to give Ann Edwards all of this all-time lore, great player kind of benefit.
He's Michael Jordan, don't you know?
But I can also see a scenario where that team doesn't shoot well, they commit too many turnovers, and the Thunder just absolutely house them. So sure. I'm still debating where I'm leaning in this series.
I'm wondering if the Thunder can render Rudy Gobert a non-factor, how they go about doing that.
Well,
they
Rudy did Gobert can render himself a non-factor from time to time as well.
But
and I thought they did a pretty good job, all things considered, on Jokic.
Yeah, the Caruso matchup was fascinating. You get the big versus the little when he gets guard. It's just, it's hard to
ref that. You can't do that against them because they'll just throw lobs to
Gobert. Oh, I'm not saying,
I know. They have to do it differently. It's more, they have to try to make him guard. Like, Chet's the guy.
We need to bring him out, get him out of the paint, yeah, right?
Make do him they a go? Do they have lineups where Hartenstein isn't out there, where Chet's playing the five, and Rudy's got to go out on the floor and try and guard him?
Yeah, I'm going to look. It's an easy rooting interest for me. The rooting interest is simply Minnesota. I don't like Oklahoma City. I never have. They stole a team. I hate their fan base. They shouldn't have anything nice, but they've had basically nothing but nice things their entire existence, and so I despise them.
You hate, okay, so
to the core of my being.
I used to root for the Sonics when they existed.
Yeah, you did.
So the zombie Sonics are not something I want to see win a title. But what I've struggled with as a hoops fan, I can't hate this team.
That's fine.
Is that, like, I hate the franchise?
I don't necessarily hate anybody on the team, although I can't stand Chet Holmgren because of the way he looks. But everybody else on the team I'm okay with. It's not necessarily hating the players. It's not wanting anything nice to happen to that fan base and that city and that ownership group. That's where I come from. Also, just from an entertainment standpoint, I mean, Anthony Edwards is significantly more entertaining on the floor and off the floor to me in the NBA Finals than anything OKC can offer. And from a value standpoint, I will be gambling on Minnesota to win the series. I don't know if they will. They deserve to be an underdog. I understand why they're an underdog. But we just went through a seven-game series in which Denver, in multiple games, didn't even have Jokic at the peak of his powers, was still able to win and push them to seven. And so I think you're still, or you should be at least, still questioning the role guys of OKC and how they're going to play. Home court advantage will be huge, but you give me like plus 300 odds in a series that I think is maybe a slight lean OKC, I'm going to take those odds any day of the week.
Yeah, I totally get it. I do think the Timberwolves, I feel like the Timberwolves getting to the finals lends itself to a better finals.
Yes.
Regardless of who comes out of the East.
Yes.
Because the Timberwolves have a lot of stupid games. They commit a lot of turnovers. Jaden McDaniels will be like 1-for-8. Alexander Walker be like 0-for-7.
Right.
Right? And then Randall and Edwards have been pretty good for him, but Edwards is, from time to time, had one of those weird clunky games where he's passive or he doesn't shoot the ball well. And so I think for a more compelling finals, I just feel like the Timberwolves are it, whereas the Thunder get to the finals, if they get past this T-Wolves team, wagon.
Yeah.
I have a hard time, not to say I'm dismissing the idea of the Pacers or the Knicks winning it. I just think the Thunder are so much better than them with their depth that I think the Timberwolves can play stupid enough to make it a better series, whereas the Thunder get there, and that might be just the confidence they need. So here's a little of how we got here. Okay, I was looking through. I watched a little bit of the old '90s Knicks Pacers games.
Ah, look at you living in the
YouTube
nostalgia
last night. Oh, I was rolling around in it
back in the good old days.
And so I saw this and looking at the four teams in the conference finals. How we got here? Okay, six of the 20 starting players of the four teams in the conference finals, six of 20 drafted.
Yeah,
the rest free agency. And largely trades.
Yeah, a lot of player movement there.
So, like, this is, I know that we, from time to time, probably tie too many things back locally, right? It's always the old age-old thing they teach you in radio behind the scenes. Always trying to make the local tie-in. So I'm conditioned to do it, but, like, it's a reminder of not all of these draft picks really matter because your team largely won't experience success through the draft. Oklahoma City's benefited from some draft. They have a lot of picks. They were bad for a while. But their star player is a trade.
Yes, he was.
You got a couple other guys. Lu Dort technically is a draft free agent guy. He was an undrafted guy who chose to go to Oklahoma City as a quote-unquote free agent. But, you know, you got Jalen Williams, you got Chet, you got other guys as well. But of the starting lineups of the four teams, only six of the 20 are drafted players.
I mean, you would argue the best player on each team, only one of them was drafted by their organization, and that was Anthony Edwards. Because you would give it to Brunson York trade.
Brunson, Halliburton.
Halliburton trade, yeah. And then SGA, as you mentioned, a trade. And you could go even deeper with that with the Knicks, the Pacers with Siakam being added, probably their second best player. So OKC may be the next most homegrown team, but
doesn't that make you feel like we should trade?
Make trade the 11th pick? Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that. You tell me we're close, and the draft pick is a project guard who's going to take 3 to 4 years to develop into something, I'm totally fine trading that pick.
It's a nice reminder that not everything has to be as concrete of how did they do in the draft.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we might have missed on Shaden and Scoot. that also might not end up mattering, because guess who our best players were?
Yeah, guys you acquired in trades.
Trades.
Yeah, that's
big. It's funny how that works out a lot for teams and being aggressive. It goes back to what I've always said about the Blazers in the Dame era prior to the torn ACL, or the torn Achilles, excuse me, is just like, that is why you're aggressive. If you have a star, a solidified star player, you should be doing whatever you can to surround it with talent.
Yeah, keep rolling the dice.
Versus being that small market team who wants to operate on the cheap and say, well, we have a 12th pick in the draft. We got to keep it. We got to develop it.
That's a rookie scale contract, don't you know, Brandon?
It's like you might have more turnover roster-wise in the NBA, and it might lend itself for you to take a jump in 2 years when you don't think you will. But you got to pair that with being aggressive.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm torn here as a basketball fan. I'm excited for these conference finals. But I keep making it about us and the Blazers. And what I do when I'm thinking about this stuff is just being torn of, I'm listening and reading so much draft stuff right now, every day. And I'm reading about this guy and that guy, and this guy might fall to them, versus what's available if you package that with some assets.
Yes, that and Anthony Simons, that and insert other asset here.
Whoever it is. Yeah, whatever those assets are.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'd be all that upset at them taking swings with some of the younger players that were like, really?
Yeah.
Because if you evaluate the four teams, you have four teams, 20 total players in the starting lineups, only six of them being drafted. That's a pretty crazy stat.
It's also four teams who have been, you know, I know OKC maybe doesn't quite get this label because they haven't made a quote-unquote all-in move yet, but they've made some key additions in going and getting guys in free agency and finding ways to fill out the rest of their roster. Indiana's been incredibly aggressive. They had the Sabonis conundrum early. They flipped him for Halliburton, said, that's a young player who's really good. Let's trade him for another young player that's good. It's worked out for him. They go get Pascal Siakam.
Hasn't worked out for Sacramento either,
It's not
right?
worked out for Sacramento, so Indiana's won that trade. Look at all the moves that New York has made over the years, right, to continue to bolster their roster in free agency and trades. Here's five first-round picks for Bridges.
Yeah.
We laugh at it, but now they're in the conference finals, and they might win a championship. Minnesota was just in the conference finals and then traded one of the most beloved players on their team in the offseason. We're like, I don't know if this is going to work financially. Let's flop him for, or switch him for Julius Randle and get DiVincenzo and change the way our lineup looks a little bit. Like, these are teams who have continued to tinker and be aggressive. They've been rewarded for it. And I hope the conference finals lives up to the hype. I'm curious the rest versus rust thing that we saw in the last round, if that has any impact on the game tonight. Because when did Minnesota beat Golden State? Was that last Wednesday or Thursday?
I think it was Thursday.
So it's been almost a week for them. OKC just played a game on Sunday. So does the rest benefit them? Are they a little rusty tonight? That, to me, is a big question going into tonight's game.
Yeah, Thursday. Oh, wait. Might have been Wednesday.
Might have been Wednesday.
It was Wednesday.
Yeah.
Damn, they haven't played since last Wednesday.
Almost a week off from Minnesota, sitting around waiting.
A couple more conference finals notes I want to get to. We'll get to some NFL. A lot of NFL going on right now. One team is being even more hated for something they're bringing back up. We had some signings yesterday. A lot of movement going on in the National Football League, so we'll get to that today as well. But more conference chatter next on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a really good piece of Yahoo from Vince Goodwill of just how exciting it is, I think, for the league to have SGA versus Anthony Edwards.
Very exciting for the association.
Now, SGA is interesting. He's probably going to win his first career MVP.
He's an overwhelming favorite, right?
Yep. The voting is already in. So we will find out who's going to win that award soon. But it's an award Anthony Edwards doesn't have. And he's sitting in a position that Anthony Edwards wants, and that's being the best team in the league.
Yes.
And so it's just such a fascinating setup where so much of that league, whether it's right or wrong, is basically the narrative about who wins and who doesn't win, who's clutch, who's not clutch, who comes up when it matters most.
Right.
And with the amount of talk Anthony Edwards provides, I'm so interested to see what this is going to look like when it actually tips off, because I think the Thunder have outmanned the Timberwolves.
Yes.
Now, Randall's playing really well right now for them. I thought McDaniel got to go in late in that series against the Warriors. They need Alexander Walker to play well. Mike Conley's a little bit of a liability, but he's a veteran threat. Yeah. Rudy Gobert has had some moments. And it's, you know, is DiVincenzo going to get it going a little bit here? If some of these things happen, Timberwolves can absolutely find themselves in the NBA Finals. But as we go in, it becomes the face. It's this guy versus that guy.
Yeah.
Even if they don't always guard each other. But it's just, I feel like most sports fans are leaning towards wanting Anthony Edwards, whereas SGA is quietly going to win the MVP. He's sometimes not even the most recognizable person in his own TV commercials.
No.
And he's got the best team in the league with all the depth in the world.
That's the funny thing about the way we talk about this. The numbers were incredible for what he did this year, but I don't think anybody would disagree with the fact that SGA's team is better top to bottom than Anthony Edwards. Like, it's not even a debate. Doesn't mean Minnesota can't win the series, but if you're picking a roster and where to start from and who you're playing with and alongside, you would take OKC's running mates or SGA's running mates over Anthony Edwards, which is a funny thing on the outcome of this. If SGA wins, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's more of a face or more deserving.
Who's the third best player in the series? If we establish whatever, if you want to say SGA, fine. I think some people would take Ann Edwards one if you were drafting a player, but
I would, yeah.
Okay, let's just, for argument's sake, doesn't matter the order, they're 1-2. Who's the third best player in the series? Because sometimes in the playoffs, it kind of boils down to,
yeah, if both those guys are going to go for 30 play at a high game, level.
If they cancel each other out with greatness,
yeah,
which you assume that they will,
or their play in general, who's the third best player?
I think that determines who will perform.
Because I have one.
Is it Julius Randle?
I think it's Julius Randle.
Is it Jalen Williams? Is it Chet? Who's it going to be? And that will determine.
Well, but I don't want to act like Game 7 didn't happen how it happened. It's easy to see the score and the third quarter run mixed with the end of the second quarter run and say, well, blowout city. I don't know, man. I watched that game, and I would say 88% of the first half, Chet and Jalen Williams didn't look comfortable.
No, they looked incredibly uncomfortable.
And they
Jalen got
it
cranked up on the defensive end, got out in transition.
Once that happened, he was fine.
Yeah.
But before that, there wasn't a lot going on from either two of those guys, and they didn't have good game sixes.
Nope. You got the experience factor on this side on Minnesota, too, because they were there last year. The majority of the guys were. I know some new players, but DiVincenzo and Randall have been on playoff runs as well.
Yes, they have. And Randall largely was a playoff no-show for a lot of people's estimation. So
he was. He was a guy at the start of the year, too, that everybody pointed at and laughed at and said, how the hell is this going to work out? What a terrible trade.
So is he the third best player to you?
I don't know. Probably. That is such a not confident answer, though.
He's playing very good basketball.
Absolutely is playing very good basketball. We've also seen Jalen Williams have games where he's taken over and been the best offensive player for Oklahoma City. Now, it's not happened consistently for him, and that's the thing they'll have to figure out going forward. But he had some massive games against Denver in that series. I want to say game two or game three went off and carried him offensively basically the entire time. I don't disagree with the point of maybe, and I would have said this for Denver as well. Like, I think you could make an argument, Aaron Gordon or Jamal Murray, maybe you would take over, insert Chet or Jalen Williams. But just from an overall talent standpoint and depth standpoint, like, OKC has the better roster. There's a reason they won 68 games in the regular season.
But Minnesota's length and athleticism is something that's interesting to watch in this matchup of how they're going to rotate, who do they put on who, what do they do with SGA? Do they flash two at him? Try to get the ball out of his hand, or do they play it straight up and say, we have the dudes that can do this?
Yep.
And that I'm curious to see that, because yes, the depth is in Oklahoma City's favor, but Minnesota has that kind of length and that roster where if certain guys can play a certain way, they're going to make things very uncomfortable for Oklahoma City. And the rest versus rust thing, like Oklahoma City's coming off of a game seven in which they ended up blowing it out. But they're also coming off of a game seven.
Yep.
That's a physical, emotional series they're coming off. That was a big step for a young team to take.
Loss in game six two nights before.
Minnesota's taken care of both series in five games. Quick work of it. Now, they haven't played perfectly. I've been questioning that on the show.
They've gotten injury breaks as well.
But they have an opportunity for some of their guys to kind of show that they can step up and they can play against this team, despite maybe being outmanned. Maybe they have more talent.
Yeah, I'm betting on them. Give me those odds. I'm taking them.
Do they win it in seven?
I don't know. They're probably not going to win it, but what the hell? Dare to dream, right? Give me Anthony Edwards in the NBA Finals. He's such a better face than SGA. He's more entertaining than him. It's nothing against SGA. He's a hell of a player, but give me
Anthony
Edwards.
Is this exciting for people? I'm not kind of getting a vibe from... I'm getting it a little... You don't seem very excited.
I'm very excited. I'm massively curious. I'm taping these games. Hops are home this week. I want to watch them. I want to see the X's. I'm interested in the basketball of this and see how they do it. And again, what do they do with Rudy Gobert? Can the Thunder force him out on the perimeter? Do they leave him kind of underneath like a little one-man zone and try to funnel SGA towards him, make him give it up? I'm curious how the X's and O's work out.
You guys are leaning me. You don't want to preview much. You want to see it, don't you?
Baby Jordan. Give me Baby Jordan tonight, man.
You want Baby Jordan?
Baby Jordan.
What is the spread? Is it like
7.5?
7.5 for the Thunder.
A lot of points.
I'm going money line. What the hell?
Well, I think the way the Thunder have played... Why would you not roll the dice on the dogs? I mean, unless they dominate them tonight, and it just looks like an absolute...
Well, the biggest thing for the Timberwolves. Game two as well, though, in the second round. They won the game by 40, and you're like, okay, here comes OKC, and then they found themselves in a game seven.
Well, the Timberwolves have sometimes gotten a little loose with the basketball, and so if the Thunder put pressure on the perimeter and can get turnovers and... That's how they can blow them out, obviously.
Yeah, I would say with Minnesota, like, there's no doubt they've been loosey-goosey and at times not played maybe up to their standard or looked as good as you thought that they would. I also think there's a mental aspect of it for them of, like, when Steph went down, they knew the series was over. And so, you don't want to just give them a break for that, but I think they understand that their A game is going to be needed to beat Oklahoma City four times.
Randall is averaging 24 points on 51% shooting. He's grabbing 6 rebounds and getting 6 assists in the playoffs.
He's been great for them, man.
I'm curious with his veteran prowess, if he keeps his good play up, does he get a Chet in foul trouble? That's the other part we don't talk about enough is can some of these vets of Minnesota, with their experience, kind of lure some of these younger players, OKC, who have their experience as well, can they get them and get them into foul trouble and kind of mess up some of the rotations?
That feel good? Is that good?
It feels
rubbing your nips over there?
Feels a little alone. I'm going to feel a little alone here, but
hey,
I'm here.
I'm along for the ride.
I get it.
Basketball dirt's dead, but I'm still trying to, go zombie basketball dirt.
I would describe the vibe of the show talking about this series of, I don't want to go too in because I don't want to be tomorrow stupid.
Oh, that's okay. I'm gambling Minnesota money line tonight. You can make fun of me all you want. Give me those odds. I'm rooting for Anthony Edwards. Not going to be a huge bet. Let's go T-Wolves, baby.
We'll get into the NFL dealings at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Dirt and Sprague, we are back with more on 1080 The Fan. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday, so get the Mail Sack questions in at the fan text line 503-864-6326. We'll get to that at 8:15. Our good buddy Nick Costos is going to join us of You Better You Bet at 7:30 today.
Talk some gambling with him, also a diehard Knicks fan as well.
A fired up Costos, Knicks fan. He's not had this in his life in a very, very long time.
25 years since they've been in the conference finals.
I want to get to a local interesting nugget that we might have in our lives here soon, but I'm chuckling because at this time of year, I tend to be kind of the nerd of the show, and I'm pretty excited. I'm jacked, and, you know, all of it's flowing through my veins.
Yeah, you got your NBA conference finals tipping off tonight.
But Dirt utters in the last commercial break, he looks up at the TV, and I turn behind me, and I'm looking at FS1, and it's a replay or a Big Ten Network, and it's Michigan State, Michigan football. 2 minutes in the first half. It's 7-0. They're 4-3 at this point. And Dirk goes,
what are we doing?
God, I can't wait for football season.
I can't wait.
And then I like, yeah, yeah.
You know you're right there with me. You know you are, man.
Oh, dude, I read an article. Am I picking Clemson to get to the national championship
game?
Another
trendy pick this year.
I might be. I don't know.
They got a lot of talent back. They might have the best quarterback in the country.
Finally hitting the portal.
They won the ACC last year. They probably will win it again.
All the things I want this year, I don't mind Clemson. I really don't. All I want is for Dabo, who I've said he's a good coach.
He's got two national championships.
Not my cup of tea.
Not my favorite, right? If they make money, I'll quit. No, you won't. You're a liar. $100 million, right? All I want him to do is say, yeah, I approached it a little wrong. Because he's in the portal now. Mr. Anti-Portal guy is in the portal, and suddenly, look who the trendy pick is. It's Clemson.
All of a sudden, we got enough talent to go do something.
And here I am, excited for basketball, and I'm like, talking college football. Because I'm also excited for football season.
I got my hooks in you, baby. I'm turning up, watching Nate Childs.
You seem like you are.
Not for football.
Why?
Because it's still months away. A lot of golf going on.
We just had the rookie mini camps. I don't know if it's months away. It's still in our lives. Yeah. Wait till 7 o'clock.
We just had the NFL. We just had the draft a month ago. It's, you know, it's right around the corner. It's coming. Sneaking up on you.
Swag did let us know, though. We have a local story that might be around the corner here.
It would be delightful.
I don't know if it could have set up any more perfect for our show specifically than what could be happening. So I don't follow this enough to know it. And listeners, if this is wrong and he's completely oracled the situation, please let us know.
Yeah, give us a heads up.
Because it would be totally him to tell us this happens or this is possibly going to happen and then it's not even in play.
I've looked at multiple projections.
You've been wrong before.
You have been wrong before.
You've had some famously wrong moments.
D1 baseball, The Athletic.
Okay. Well.
Never been wrong.
Swag says there's a real potential that the committee for the college baseball playoff, World Series,
whatever,
tournament, whatever, basically is set up where you could get an Oregon State, Oregon Super Regional.
Ooh, who would host now? Who's the higher? We got to be higher
than Oregon.
You guys, right?
Oregon would host.
Oregon would host. We won 4 in a row against you. We better host that damn thing. Do you see UCLA's trying to claim a Big Ten baseball title?
Oh, get out of here.
Did you see the Big Ten tweet out Marcus Mariota highlights yesterday?
I did see that.
I hate all of this.
I did.
I hate it so much.
That's a low blow that you can't recover from.
You don't get a claim.
It's just stupid. It's not even a low blow. It's so dumb. It's like, look at our history.
Yeah. Like, it's your history. That's not your history.
You're bought and paid for history. Though I did see some encouraging
news. Dylan Gabriel is Big Ten history of Oregon football. That you can count. Marcus Mariota, you cannot count.
I did see encouraging news out of that garbage-ass ACC conference.
Yeah.
They made $45 million per school last year.
Not too shabby, man. Two teams making the playoff helps a little bit. Nice little paydays right there.
Well, it was a nice year one. Maybe the expansion thing was right for them. Turned out having Cal Stanford paid off.
Yeah, very well could. I have a funny anecdote on that. But on the Oregon State thing, it would be awesome for the show if that happened. It would be great.
The worst part is that if Oregon State prevailed,
yeah,
we come in here, I'd say a joke, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, when's football?
Yeah. Football's right around the corner.
But if Oregon wins...
Can't wait to win by four. It's the best, literally the best
it's
position
the
to be in
spot.
As a fan.
Yeah.
It's not that painful if they lose, because at the end of the day, I don't really care that much.
It's basketball dirt position. Let me give you the take. Be
it's
a little
worse.
Right,
it's,
and then it doesn't matter if I'm wrong. Who cares?
Because at least with basketball, like when they lose in the Sweet 16 or Elite 8, like there's a little bit of emotional damage that happens there. I drove 24 hours to watch my team lose a Final Four game by not getting an offensive rebound. Like that hurt. That was brutal. Logging on Twitter after that game and seeing things that people were saying was like I almost wanted to break my phone. Not a happy spot for dirt. There's pain that comes with that. With baseball, I'm not emotionally attached to it in any way, shape, or form, but I know Oregon State fan is, which is why I desperately need that to happen.
Yeah, I don't usually say these things.
Where would that rank on like the all-time most painful Oregon State losses? If that were to set up and the Super Regional in Oregon wins... To go to the College World Series.
And it goes to a game three.
Goes to a game three.
Trip to Omaha.
Ending.
And all your get to Omaha jokes are now out the window because now we've gone to Omaha and we did it by beating you.
Win one of those.
What if we win the national championship?
Win one.
What if Oregon wins the national championship this year?
Get you two more. I mean, we're prepared for the comeback, but I would tell you emotionally.
That would hurt, dude. That would be painful.
You've met enough Beaver fan listeners that tell you they actually love the baseball.
Oh, they follow closely, as you should. It's a great program.
And so what I would say is, no matter what you think of the big brother, little brother, the rivalry, no rivalry. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it.
What if at that super regional, Jonathan Smith's in the bleachers wearing green, too? Just here to support my old school. But he's wearing Michigan State colors, but he blends in with the Duck crowd.
You're giving me way too many stupid hypotheticals now. I should have never brought this up. What a mistake by me. And I hope you're wrong. It'd be so funny if somebody's like, guys,
actually,
I don't know what he's saying. Technically, they're not allowed to do it because of this, this, and this.
Well, we're not in the same conference anymore, so I don't know if there's a limitation. Can you play
not
Super Regionals?
Not at the Super Regional level, whatever. No.
Okay.
It just would be funny if a listener was like, actually, he's wrong. It's this, 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 and he just shrugs
Well, because, his shoulders. You know, half of them are SEC teams anyway, so.
That is true.
More than half. It's ridiculous. Loaded second hour. We have a lot to get to in the second hour. We will pause the basketball. I know it's riveting. Everybody's so excited about previewing conference finals.
You know what we're going to talk in the second hour? I know what we're going to do.
We're going to kick off hour number two.
You're damn right we will.
Football. Football's back in our lives. Some newsy things. We'll get to that. Loaded second hour during Sprague on the Fan.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.